Hey everybody, it's Tuck Ross with Jess Jensen, and we are talking about personal brand building online. Why it matters, how to use social media, search, and content marketing to do just this. You know, personal brand, it can really be a dirty word for some, narcissism, self-promotion, but we actually think this is a very important topic, something that we're trying to do ourselves and actually, you know, build that as part of what we're doing. And, you know, we wanted to share with you about why it's becoming such an imperative, in today's digital world, not just for who you are, but for the people around you as well. So, Jess, what do you think?
Totally agree. And on today's episode of Social Currency, we are going to discuss 7 ways to use online tools to build out our digital persona, aka your personal brand. So for those new listeners, Social Currency is a podcast aimed at the leader or executive who perhaps didn't grow up a digital native. We want to make social media and digital marketing approachable and easy to understand.
Yeah. All right. Let's do it. Let's dig in.
All right. So Tuck, Jeff Bezos is famous for saying your brand is what people say about you when you're not in the room. How do you define personal brand?
So easy when you're Jeff Bezos, right? Everybody knows Jeff Bezos. I think this, you know, it's thinking about this from, you know, your perspective as the individual, whether you're a big CEO or whether you're a solopreneur or whether you're just getting started, want to be an influencer, whatever it is. I think it's really thinking about a personal brand as who people know you to be, presenting that authentically, consistently, amplifying it, and making sure it's everywhere. And it's really that distribution of you as a personal brand. And I think, you know, this is so important for us. Like, we as marketers, we get so concerned about how do we market our business? How do we market our brand? And we don't necessarily think about ourselves as a product, as something that we want to communicate, and applying the same structures that we would apply to our own businesses to ourselves, which I think is so crucial, and why, especially in the digital age where there's so many, you know, much more visible ways for us to communicate ourselves and for us appearing out there, it is so important now more than ever to have a personal brand be consistent and authentic wherever you are.
Yeah. And what's so cool is that in the era we are, 2019, there are so many free and relatively easy to use tools to help us build this digital persona, this personal brand. I mean, never before has it been easier.
Yeah, right. You can start a podcast. You can, it can be on social. You can be a blogger. All these, so many platforms are free, and some take a little bit of investment of obviously your time and a little bit of money, depending on what you want to do. But to your point, the potential is endless, and it is still early days for thinking about how do you get yourself out there, because especially if you're doing this, not everybody else is. And so that's why there's a huge opportunity for you as an individual to build your personal brand properly. Again, consistently, being authentic all the time, and making sure that it's everywhere at once. All right, Jess, so where do you begin? What do you like to do? How are you better differentiated from others like you? What is this about from your perspective?
Well, so step number one, which you just walked through, which is really this idea of it's an imperative, and it's actually easier than ever to do it. And it's really on you to build that. This step number two is this notion of your stump speech, or as it's been called in the past, your elevator pitch. I think you've talked to me about this in the past, the notion of having a few different versions of this. Maybe it's a 5-minute version of who you are, a 2-minute version, a 30-second. How ready are you to explain, you know, what you do, what you stand for, what you're interested in different increments of time, and also based on who you're actually standing next to? Are you standing next to literally the CEO in the elevator? Because that's happened to me, and it's good to be ready, which I wasn't ready. Or it could even just be like it's some networking event or a happy hour, right? When you're around folks that don't necessarily know you or work with you directly, whether that's in person or online, be able and be ready to speak to who you are, what you stand for, and ideally kind of what you want to do next, right? Because that could be that person that you're talking to, whether it's online or face-to-face, that could be your next opportunity.
Yeah, it's great. I love the concept of the elevator speech because, again, going back to that business model, think of yourself as a startup. If no one knows who you are, how do you define yourself really quickly and capture someone's attention? That's really what you're trying to do. You're trying to be disruptive. You're trying to own that attention and get someone to understand what value you bring to the space. And it's good to have different lengths of that, right? So you've got the 30-second where you maybe only have that time to introduce yourself in the elevator, the 2-minute version, maybe the 10-minute version is like, what would you say in an interview? So you don't have to be interviewing, but think about the fact that if you were in that session where you're trying to introduce yourself, how do you provide value? How are you bringing what you are and who you are best authentically to the table? What does that look like? And, you know, that includes all the name dropping and all the other pieces that go into who you are and what you've done in your experience, but putting in a nice package that is easily consumable by your audience.
Yeah. And, you know, from a tactical perspective, there's ways to practice this. I mean, again, write it out, practice in front of a mirror. Obviously, you can record yourself on your phone just so you can hear what you sound like. It sounds cheesy, but even if you're not job hunting, even if you're just dating, you know, even if you're just traveling internationally and you're meeting people you've never met before, it doesn't have to be about a career thing. How do you describe who you are? How do you package up in a 30-second, 2-minute, 5-minute, 10-minute scenario what you want people to know about you and remember about you most? Practice that at home when you're kind of in a safe space so you're ready to have that kind of dialogue.
Yeah, which, you know, leads to what we're saying is point number 3 here is provide value to others in a public way. And it really, you know, if we're using this business model, what is your USP? What is your unique selling proposition? How are you defining the 2, 3, 4 top value tenets of, you know, the pillars of who you are, right? And describing them in those ways. And there's multiple ways to communicate them. I mean, what are someone that, you know, that we've talked about here?
Yeah. So there's obviously a lot of tools, and this gets into the world of digital marketing, right? So just like Tuck, you were saying earlier, you know, you are a product, and that's a weird thing to say, but it's the reality of the era that we're in. And it's also just the reality too of, you know, most of us are not living in the same city that we grew up in, certainly not living in the same city, perhaps for 30, 40, 50 years, like, you know, generations ago. We're probably not getting the gold watch and collecting, you know, sure, a pension from the same company that we've worked at for 40 years. There's a lot of movement, right? A lot of transition. So the more you're able to know what you stand for and have a clear point of view, then the better you're going to be able just to sort of, again, open doors and allow for opportunities to come into your life. So what are some of those channels? So obviously podcasting, as we're doing right now, is one of them. And it's probably a more in-depth one, frankly. I feel like blogging and podcasting are the longer form versions of personal brand building. So maybe that's 2.0 because, you know, that takes a little bit of extra effort and time and a good partner. But there's lots of stuff you could just do that's a little bit more light touch, more 1.0, right? So again, social media, obviously, whether it's Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, wherever you're comfortable sharing articles that you think are, you know, appropriate and sort of in line with who you want to be. And photos, you know, commenting on other people's content, you know, just being active and across social media platforms and specifically around content and topics that you're interested in, not just in your own industry, you know. So maybe it's like, for example, I've got a big interest in women in STEM. And so I'll, even though I'm not an engineer, I'm very much a proponent of that. So sharing articles about that, giving people kudos for what they're doing that are in that field. I think that social media is the easiest platform to begin building that persona.
Yeah, and it's a good point you bring up. I almost think about it like if you get stumped on where to start in terms of building this out, just go to your LinkedIn profile, right? Look at the categories that you have to fill out there. You know, here's your headline. Here's the experience that you have. Here's the charities you work with. Here's the education you have. Those are really good starting points for you to start to craft not only, you know, your elevator pitch, but backing into that, you get into the point of what value do you have to offer? What are the really good pieces of your narrative beyond just the specific experience that you can translate back into your core values? And then that leans into, you know, the things that you care about, which is your POV. And that's what makes you uniquely you. That's going to define your personal brand in a way on that on paper and through communication channels like social media, you're actually going to look different and attract a different crowd than you would if you look like everybody else.
Yeah, right. Don't be afraid to stand out.
Yeah. All right. So step four, what do we have?
So this gets into audience, which we talk a lot about as marketers, right? We, of course, want to build content that speaks to whoever our target audience is. But this is applicable here when it comes to digital brand building for the individual. So who are you trying to attract? Are you trying to attract recruiters, right? Is this a professional play? Are you trying to attract sales leads? Maybe you're in business development or you're responsible for generating a certain amount of revenue for a business. Are you looking to attract potential customers? Is it new employees? Maybe you're looking to recruit, whether you're in HR or you're a leader that's got a couple of heads to fill. Maybe it's partners, right? There's a lot of work that gets done in the tech industry I can speak to specifically where there's a ton of partnerships that whether it's software and hardware or app developers. And so maybe you're looking to suggest and share content that would attract specific kinds of partners that will build your business. But try not to be everything to everyone, just like, again, in marketing of a product, if you're everything to everyone, you're no one to no one. Try to be thoughtful about who it is that you're trying to market yourself
to. Yeah, again, going back to the business model, knowing your audience is so crucial because it helps you figure out what your message is and how to tune the pieces that we talked about before, what your values are, your unique selling proposition into that audience, right? And what matters. And I think the important call out here is to not modify, like you said, not modify your message to the different groups because you want to maintain that consistency so that no matter where you are, you're always the same. It's kind of like my mom used to say, right? Like, don't be a different person here versus there. And that way, you know, you are consistent and it brings forth that authenticity that you're able to exude and translate into the different formats that you're looking at. Because you are trying to attract that audience consistently over time with who you are.
Yeah. And I'll throw a curveball, but I think you'll have some good thoughts on this. When we think about being consistent, you know, but then we also think about the fact that the social platform specifically, but then let alone longer form content like blogging and podcasts, they work differently and they sometimes optimize, whether it's for visuals or, you know, audio or article sharing. Do you have any feelings about you want to be consistent, you want to be your whole self across the web, but how you might slightly tweak things for different platforms or mediums?
Yeah, well, I think there's two angles to that. One is that you want to be platform appropriate, and then obviously different platforms have different audience and different tone and then maybe a little bit different presentation layer, even with the groups that you associate with there, based on, again, what you're trying to attract. Assuming we're having a conversation mostly about your professional presence, right? That said, I think the other side of it is that you do want to not appear like a robot. You got to have a personality. And so, you know, if you play guitar all the time when you're not at work and it's part of your thing, you can make that part of your persona in a very real way without it necessarily affecting letting too much of that in, or maybe not creating that balance of your professional POV and what you're offering in terms of your value set with some of the more casual, maybe parts of your personal brand, that can create, you know, a conflict of presence. But I think having those touch points to show that you are a human, obviously, and you have these interests that are influencing how your again, your point of view is coming across, especially in your core value statement, I think is important to see because, again, that helps create that differentiation of you versus everyone else.
So what I hear you saying is, hey, show your whole self as far as, you know, interests, hobbies that are beyond your professional world. But maybe just to be specific with the audience listening, what do you think are the categories to stay away from?
Well, you know, if you're getting drunk every weekend and you're posting that kind of stuff on your Instagram page and your stories, maybe you don't want to keep that as a public profile and you keep that to your friends, right? But I think this goes back to the statement, like, live your truth. And I think that's a very real, it's part of the authentic piece of that. But, you know, I think people kind of shy away from the reality of who they are as an individual, trying to make it too professional or appear as a certain way. And you don't want to have to maintain that front. And, you know, you want to be yourself, whether you're in this type of environment or not. And if that's not comfortable for you with the people that you're trying to attract, maybe you're trying to attract the wrong people or go into the wrong spaces that aren't more of a natural fit with who you are and your persona. So I do believe there is a very real through line of living your truth that has to be there, or else you don't have the opportunity to reach your full potential and maximize your strengths in the types of environment and the audience that you're trying to mesh with.
Yeah. And I would just add one more to that in terms of the stay away from category. And we see this often with politicians and celebrities. You know, I think doing your best to remove the emotion from how you show up publicly is a smart move. And so we're all human. We all have feelings about certain frustrations or anger or sort of want to rant about various topics. But I think, so for example, if you're a politician, unless you're trying to attract other partners or affiliates in that political party, so therefore your point of view, your passion around that is actually part of who you are. But if it's not, if you're, you know, an architect and you're sort of going down a road of heavy-handed, you know, again, just sort of emotional outbursts or, you know, kind of alliances with something that's kind of polarizing. I think that that can be a watch out. And it's funny. It's almost like in the moment, it feels like the right thing to do. But when you look back and sort of the notion of the internet never forgets, it can be that can damage, I think, your overall personal brand. So just be thoughtful about be taking a breath before you type.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's sort of like that 5-minute rule. Like, instead of reacting, take that extra 5 minutes to think about that. And then if you still want to send it 5 minutes later, good to go, right? But be more conscious, right? Right. And that makes a lot of sense.
Cool. Okay. Number five, what are your thoughts on the notion of like co-creation?
Co-creation. Yeah, that's fun. I mean, we're co-creating right now, just as an example. But I think it really comes back to, you want to find like-minded people, your tribe. And this goes back to a little bit of knowing your audience, but also identifying who are good collaborators in that group that think like you. You know, not exactly like you, because you want complementary topics. This is sort of like the peanut butter and jelly model. Bring things to the table that, you know, you both have and can make synergistically better while you're making a good sandwich, right? Because it's still, you're trying to achieve a good sandwich. So I think it's, I mean, wow. Clearly, I like to make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, because that was like right here when I needed an example.
You're hungry.
Yeah. But anyways, I do think it's like, there's a good collaboration point around that, because they are complementary and they do assist each other in a synergistic way.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, you know, like you touched on it, obviously what we're doing right now is we're creating content and we're co-creating it. We're collaborating on it. So it's partly because it's fun and we have something in common and we know each other, but it's also because there's an amplification, a distribution that you can get when you work with either another person or another publication or another organization. So I think this idea of partnering with like-minded folks to kind of drive a win-win scenario for the two of you can be something that you don't want to do in all of your content and across all of your platforms every day, but like it could be a component of your online personal brand.
I agree. This is similar to what we've talked about with influencers, the access to each other's audience, as it were, and or the access to a partner's audience. And having that authenticity helps maintain that pass through, especially when you reach their audience in collaboration with them, you know, as the influencer to them. So I think that is super crucial. And obviously, the closer you are to that persona that you're working with and their audience's topic that they're interested in, the more resonance there's going to be in that conversation.
Yeah. And, you know, like we talked about with influencers in earlier episodes, you know, I know when I began dipping my toe into that space, I immediately figured that they would be competitors with each other. And I quickly found out that they actually were not. They were actually very collaborative and friends in many cases, because they work together. They saw each other at events. They could help each other. And many of them actually wish they had met earlier on in their career, so they had had a tribe, to use your word. And so I think this can play out beyond the influencer space. This is just human nature. I think if we can find other folks that are like-minded, you know, it's not a competition, right? It can be mutually beneficial to create content, or at minimum, just share each other's content, comment, compliment them publicly, appraise what they're working on, and then they'll do the same back for you.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. I love that. All right, cool. So let's jump into number six here. We've talked a little bit about tools, but let's get a little more specific. What are some good tools, platforms that you really like to use as you're looking at your personal brand yourself, Jess?
So we talked about, you know, maybe step one is social media, because it is relatively light touch and doesn't have to be all the platforms. I always think, you know, pick the one that's the most comfortable to you. For some people, that's Twitter. For some people, that's not. It's not always the most intuitive platform, but it is an active one. For others, it's LinkedIn. Sometimes that feels more comfortable. It feels like, okay, this is a more professional space to be. I can, you know, go a little longer form in what I post. People often spend a little bit more time on LinkedIn than they might on the other platforms. But again, it depends on who you are. If you're an artist, if you're someone in the food space, in the fashion space, again, Instagram probably is going to be calling your name. So I think it's, don't try to be everything to everyone. Don't try to use all the platforms if that doesn't feel comfortable to you. Maybe pick one or two that feel like you can do it and on a regular basis. And maybe that's two or three times a week. And I always suggest, you know, begin just by sharing articles that you think are interesting or commenting, liking on other people's stuff, which then brings them into your world, right? That you're going to start showing up in their feed more frequently. So I think social media is definitely the first chapter of personal brand building and digital presence. And then it can get more sophisticated from there.
Yeah, I like that. And I'll toss in a few other ones here. We've talked about staying current, right? Stay current on your topic. Stay current on what you know. I'm always a big fan of knowing more than my agencies do, just because I like to be top of mind and be able to challenge, you know, whatever's coming through, so that, you know, one, I know enough to have a comprehensive conversation, right? And so you think about news readers and or Google alerts, right? And setting those up, not only just for yourself on your name, so you're seeing what's coming through as you start to build your personal brand, but also on key topics that are of interest to you. So one, you can share more timely, to your point, on the platforms around these topics and have commentary around them, and or see, you know, on a, for a more macro level, like what are the themes happening? How are you reacting to those? Not just your business, but your personal brand, and maybe evolving yourself or your theory on these different elements as they relate to your core values, that you can then share and develop content out of yourself to get your unique POV on these topics out there as well through the channels that we've mentioned.
Yeah. And you're really good with news. I feel like you do a good job of staying on top of news that's regarding, you know, social media.
I'm a junkie.
Yeah. Like you're like my mentor with that. I feel like I kind of get a little overwhelmed by how many different places there are to get news, and then how many different topics to get it. So maybe you could give some guidance on that. So you mentioned Google Alerts. That's an easy one for certain topics or companies you care about. But how else are you organizing the way in which you filter your news?
Yeah, we can put these links in the show notes. I think this is pretty straightforward. It just takes a little bit of time over time to build it out. But, you know, for our category, I like to use a tool called Feedly. It's an app, Feedly, and it's an RSS reader, but it's really elegantly done. And you can add a few different websites and the different places that you follow into there. And then it creates a nice news reading type of format. You can save articles, you can share out from there, the rest of that. So it's a really great tool for that if you want to get deeper. More high level, I actually really like what Google App is doing. So I have an iPhone, the Google App, and on Android, it's actually built in natively. But Google does a really good job with their AI and helps develop and curate your feed based on what you're reading. So it's a really good way that if you start engaging with the topics, it actually gives you more of those and you're able to dive deeper around the topics that you're interested in. Google Alerts, obviously, and some of the other Google tools about just, you know, from the macro lens of seeing, you know, what's happening in the US. Google Trends is a great way to check on that, you know, once in a while, quarterly. I think hopping into LinkedIn and seeing what other people are sharing in your tribes, right? Or the different types of groups you're engaged with. Another great way, also see what's trending on LinkedIn. There's that news feature there that actually Facebook took out due to the fake news, but LinkedIn still has that trending news topic area, which is super helpful because a lot of people, again, on LinkedIn are sharing more business-focused topics. So it's a great spot to, in the larger sense, see what's happening in business overall and starts to tune up a little bit more when you get more specific with your audience.
Cool. That's great. So let's talk about a few of the maybe more time intensive or more robust ways that you can build your personal brand online beyond social media.
Yeah. So, again, if you take back to your core values, what do you want to communicate? And if some of those are more robust in nature, you want to spend more time on them, you could develop a website for yourself. That is a great baseline. Super simple to get a Squarespace or a Wix site. Put up a few pages, obviously highly visual, communicate your value, almost like your online resume, like you would for LinkedIn, but it's a much more personalized version that you have the ability to modify. It's not so templated as a LinkedIn would be. You can write a book, you can write an ebook, you can write an online tutorial, and or you could film an online tutorial, right? You can do that in a podcast format and strip it down so it's just audio and then version that for video as well. So I think there's, you know, to your point, there's a lot more of these expanded, what we consider long form content types that gives you more opportunity to either create more of a curriculum or treat a larger topic and get deeper so that you can demonstrate your expertise. You can demonstrate, you know, how deep you are, and or if you have an extended POV that takes longer time to explain, this is a really great opportunity for that type of thing.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Number seven. So maintain. We talked a bit about Google Alerts, just to be specific about that. So for those that don't know, I mean, that's just the idea of, you know, you can go into Google and you can create an email alert about a name. So like I have one for myself, I have one for my spouse and my children, just so once a week I'm alerted.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Right? I mean, there's not a whole lot that comes up right now, but, you know, you would just want to know if something out of the ordinary appeared that was attached to their name, you know, and you even get right. into stuff like identity theft and like, you know, your credit score, like some of that stuff, you know, maybe that could be an early warning signal if you're seeing your name show up in ways that it normally doesn't. I'll use a personal example here of where when I wasn't using Google Alerts to track my own name, and, you know, my name's Jessica Jensen, relatively common name.
And actually, why am I worried right now? Should I be worried? I'm right. worried.
So the story goes, when I was actually interviewing for the job that I have now at Qualcomm, the hiring manager and one of the hiring managers and who ended up being my boss down the road, she was a former journalist, a reporter. So she was actually very skilled at doing her investigative research and due diligence. And so first thing she asked me when I got on the phone with her for the interview was, so I hear that you're a porn star.
Yes, this is amazing.
right.
And so, are you?
Different episode. We'll talk about that.
Now we're
that's
now
a whole
we're
other
learning.
Podcast.
Okay. Core values.
Totally. Core values. Totally. So I had no idea. She had simply done a Google search for my name, which generates a whole bunch of stuff. It's like there's a handbag designer in Canada and there's like an equestrian that wins a bunch of awards. A number of people, Jessica Jensen, that come up again and again, but one of which is a like B-list porn star. And I didn't know. And so we laughed it off, and I mean, I got the job. So obviously I didn't completely bomb the interview, but it was such a good lesson. I was like, immediately I set up Google Alerts for my name and my family because I just thought, oh my God, I have to research myself because people are. And if you're not prepared for that, even if they're just joking around with you, you have no response.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good call out. And that's really where you start, right? Like search yourself, do it right now. Literally pause this episode, go search yourself, or just listen while you're doing it. It is so crucial to know how you appear online and to check that regularly because you don't know what pops up. You know, on the good front side, we talked about sort of what's appropriate and what's not. If you have a personal profile that you do want to have your own, you know, stuff or whatever, just make sure that's not showing up, right? So it's not the first things that are there. Make it private, whatnot. Even if someone does find it, they're not seeing the things that you want to keep private, whether it's your kids or something that, you know, you keep as a hobby or whatever, right? There's all pieces that we want to keep private. And then you want to amplify and spend more time on the places that are your personal brand that you want to make sure are amplified everywhere, right? So that's a really good call out on the search and the Google Alerts piece. So I'm actually had a few of those tonight, but it's a good place to start and to see, and then to check regularly and work on the ones, you know, that need to pump up, make sure you're adding more content to those areas and then, you know, helping push down or remove the ones that you don't.
Yeah. And to be clear, you know, the things that Google can scrub are public things, right? So to your point about, right, if you want to have more of a private profile where you're sharing pictures of your kids or it's a hobby that's just a personal thing, you know, there's ways to do that on Instagram, specifically Facebook. I mean, you can make things private and Google doesn't scrub that in near the way that they would like Twitter or public facing stuff. So, you know, you don't, it doesn't have to be that your entire life online shows up there, but you want the right things to show up. And so it's good to have, it's kind of doing a credit check. You know, you should do it once a year, just to make sure there's nothing out of the ordinary or unexpected that shows up there so that, you can either deal with it or at least be prepared if somebody brings it up in a discussion.
Yeah. I search everyone that comes in an interview before they come in. Same. I absolutely search them. I surprise them with some random thing that I found on their Facebook profile and see how they react to it, because I think it's super interesting on, you know, knowing a little bit more about who you're talking to. And if that's something that they actually care about, then let's talk about it, right? If not, then it does demonstrate that perhaps there's not as much attentiveness to that side of who they are and what they want to be that could come through in different formats.
I agree. I search everyone too. And frankly, going back to again, that the value of building a brand, a personal brand for yourself, it, you know, I'm not saying it's a deal breaker, but it causes me pause. Mm-hmm. If I am looking to hire someone in marketing and obviously specifically in digital marketing, if they have no presence, right? If nothing comes up or there's social posts from like, you know, 2013, you know, if they're just dormant, that's a little bit concerning. You know, there needs to be at least LinkedIn, right? There should be something out there that you're purposely putting into the world. So, sometimes, you know, nothing is not necessarily neutral. And I think this probably leads us into the final section of this last point seven, where, you know, I see this a lot, especially on LinkedIn. People are getting better about it, but especially a couple of years ago, I saw it a lot where basically it was a set it and forget it. People would use it as an online resume. They wouldn't touch it for months, maybe years. And then when they were either looking for a job because they got laid off or they were angry and wanted to find something different, or they got a new job, they would all of a sudden light up and get super active online. And you would see all the sort of flurry of updates and posts. And it always felt so like ad hoc and after the fact. And it's like, just like always be doing it. Again, maybe it's once a week if that's all you can manage, even every other week, frankly, but just be slightly touching, you know, that like in the back of the day when I was a waitress in college, they'd call it table touching. And it's just like sort of walking around to all of your guests and just, you know, how you doing? You need some napkins? You know, how about a refill on the water? Can I bring you another, you know, IPA? Like you're just constantly sort of table touching to make sure that they're doing okay and that they know that you're still there. That's kind of how I think you need to maintain your digital presence.
Yeah, I agree with that. I was at somewhere the other day and someone was asking me about LinkedIn. And I said, you know what, you should be changing your headshot every quarter. Just mix it up. That's my perspective, but it does keep things fresh, right? It shows that you're dynamic and you're being thoughtful. And by the way, you don't have a picture from, you know, 1995 up there still. And you're being considerate about who you present yourself to be. And that's as much the visual side as it is making sure that your experience is current and that your narrative is current and that you, you know, people's values evolve. Make sure that it is still true to who you are, that you are living your truth and maintaining it. I love that table touching point because it's so right about just making the rounds, right? And make sure that you're attentive to yourself as you would be to your own business.
Yeah, very cool. So I think, you know, I think we both agree building an online persona, building your personal brand through digital channels has never been easier. There's so many tools. And again, many of which are very free and very easy to use. We'll link to a couple of the articles that we found interesting in the show notes, but, highly, highly recommend whether you're an executive, you know, someone on the rise or even, you know, new into the workforce, be cognizant of how you show up on the internet.
All right. So in closing, you know, let's go back to that Jeff Bezos statement right at the beginning, and thinking about who you are when you're not in the room. If you're thinking about your personal brand, think about what do you want to build so that people know who you are, how you present yourself authentically, consistently, and then amplified everywhere across all these spaces, mostly digital, but also offline as well. It's thinking about having a focus and then being genuine about who you are, telling your story, right? And then thinking about the format for that story. What audience do you want to address? What's your 2-minute, 10-minute version of that? But then really going back to the fact that whatever you do, whatever you choose, whatever you build out of your core values and, you know, you identify as the unique pieces of you, the personality that makes your unique selling proposition, be consistent with that. And then ultimately live your brand, live your truth, and make sure that you are identifying yourself and who you want to be and making sure that the audience that you're after finds that as resonant as you do. So go build your personal brand. If you are building your personal brand, send us some info. We'd love to share what you're working on, whether it's your website or your personal style, and hoping and encouraging you to live your truth as you go out.
All right. This has been awesome. So if you want more Social Currency, please check us out at socialcurrencyshow.com. You can also subscribe anywhere you get your podcasts and hear all of our episodes. Or you can hear from us directly by signing up for our weekly newsletter at info@socialcurrencyshow.com. And of course, per this discussion around digital brand building, you can find us on Twitter. So Tuck can be found at Tuck Ross, and I can be found at Jessica K. Jensen. Tuck, as always, good chatting with you.
Yes, everyone, go maintain your personal brands. Go build something great around yourself. Be authentic, live your truth. Jess, so good chatting with you this week. And everyone, have a great week.
Bye.
Talk to you soon.